Welcome to Women's Lax World. Our content focuses on all things women's lacrosse. We believe this sport, and specifically women's lacrosse, is the best and has so much talent, fun, and creativity, and there's not enough coverage. So we're talking about it. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Women's Lax World, Season 1, Episode 2, where we are focusing on all things women's lacrosse. And right now we are all talk of collegiate lacrosse. Bryce and I are delighted to have the Karen Maurer here with us today. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. Karen
hails from Setauket, Long Island, was a two-time All-American at Duke University. She also graduated as the program's all-time leader in assists with 119. She also ranks fifth all-time in ACC history in assists and was a three-time ACC selection. Also a three-time Tuareton Trophy nominee. That's a lot.
It's impressive.
And then also had a total of 280 career points and tied for fourth in career goals with 161 while finishing on a 47-game point scoring streak. As well, Maurer is an All-American lacrosse camp coach, a member of Team Italy, and so much more. Thank you, Karen, for joining us, and thank you for letting me read verbatim from the Princeton website on all of your accolades.
Yeah, happy to be here. That was definitely pretty cringy to be on the other side of that, but appreciate the shout out. Pumped to be here and talk about women's lax.
Well, you are an amazing, amazing lacrosse player and an even better coach. Obviously, you're also coaching at Princeton, and we're just so excited you can be here. So we're going to jump right in, and we're going to start talking about Division I, specifically ACC and what went on last week. So I'm going to go over some of that. So this last week of ACC action included 3 in-conference matchups and 6 non-conference games. BC had a big win over USC 14-8. UNC went on a 9-0 scoring run and won over Duke 13-6. Syracuse hosted Stony Brook in the Dome and led an offensive clinic, winning 16-6. Virginia hosted Virginia Tech, which ended up being the closest and most evenly matched, exciting back and forth game of the past week. Virginia won 12-10. And UNC won big over Vanderbilt 17-6. Duke over East Carolina 16-4. And Louisville picked up another win, beating Cincinnati 13-5. So a lot of games, a lot of action. I think it's a fun place to start would be opening up with talking about Syracuse's big win over Stony Brook. Bryce, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, anytime you win in the Dome like Stony Brook did in 2020, and it's all over. I remember they made a video of it. It's all over social media. You know, Cuse was looking forward to that game. For me, you know, Emily Hauschuk didn't play another upstate legend. And I tweeted it at Coach Q88 on Twitter. Look me up. But I'm just so impressed all the time. The amount of goal scorers Cuse comes up with every year. Like, it's, you go to the game, like, oh, Hauschuk's not playing. And then Megan Carney had goals, but I think she's more of a known entity. Megan Tyrell had a bunch of goals. I didn't know the Sierra Cockrell as well, and she really impressed me, and Sam Swart. They were all throwing a bunch of goals in. So I just love the way they seem to constantly attack. I remember one time during the game, the commentators were like, what are they running? We kind of call it Monarch, the set that they do at Denver. I'm like, that's what they're running. But they're like, it just looks like they're scoring all the time. So for me, it's super impressive. I know their zone defense is fun to watch. The backer is really, really, really impressive, and the goaltending. But being a Cuse fan, being from upstate New York, it's always good to watch Gary and the Cuse girls put up a lot of goals.
Why do you think it is that they're able to come back year after year and have so many offensive threats? And what do you think is so special about Gary Gate and kind of his offensive sets and motions?
You know, it's his box influence. They play a lot of lefty righties. They obviously, skill development has got to be off the charts. I had the chance to play for him in the MLL 2 seasons, and I was playing defense, so I didn't get to pick his brain that much. But just a really good energy about him. I think playing inside helps offenses develop, right? They never have a snow day. They never have a cold day. I know, Karen, we were talking about playing in the rain earlier. It's a challenge. So that's got to help. But I think there's just a vibe. I asked him last year, you know, I'm like, hey, I've never seen you yell at people when they miss a shot. Right. And that's been one of my things as a coach. I don't love just getting after somebody just because they miss a shot. And I was like, why do you do that? And he's like, because I've missed shots. You know, he's like, I think he's the greatest player ever. You know, men's, we're trying to just talk women's on the show. But, you know, I just love that attitude. I think his players want to take risks and they're not afraid of it. So I think that's got a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Karen, did you have thoughts too on the Oranges offense? How did you feel watching some of their game and seeing their highlights and their offensive prowess?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think Syracuse's offense year in and year out, they do a really good job with individual player development and creating superstars, but they also always have a surrounding cast. And it always seems like, you know, if they have a player face guarded or something, they need someone else's number comes up, that player just finishes and seals the deal for them. And I think this year, the numbers they've put up in the first two games are pretty phenomenal. And it's going to be tough to slow down that offense right now.
Yeah, they were so exciting. It was a classic Carrier Dome energizing game too. I think they had the energy from the beginning. It was kind of tight in the beginning of the game. And I went back and watched it again and kind of forgot that it was close for about 10-12 minutes and it was back and forth, but they were just so relentless all over. They were on top of it in the draws. And I think it's Mishewski does such a good job at placing the draws, going after it. Their middies are dominant on defense and they hustle. When they throw the ball away too, they're the first ones quickly back. Anything goes wrong, they're really powerful. And then I think it's the best I've seen their defense play this year specifically. They've been really successful at trapping up top and stretching out on the adjacents up top specifically. They got caught in shooting space early a bunch just because Stony Brook was stacking four low and kicking it up top and then they got caught. But Asa Goldstock came up huge with her angles and kind of probably demoralizing Stony Brook's offense a bit just because they couldn't get it in the back of the net and Syracuse capitalized. So what a game. It was exciting. And then moving on, I think I'd like to chat too about, I think that was my favorite game and, you know, we can move on from the ACC, but, you know, touch on Asa Goldstock got the defensive ACC player of the week. I think well-deserved. I think I wasn't sure who was going to get the offensive player and it went to Charlotte North and it went to UNC's Ortega. I also thought, you know, Megan Carney probably was talked about as well and potentially too Cockerill or Sam Sword as well. What do we think about those awards? Were they well-deserved? Did you want to see anyone else getting credit?
Sounds like they nailed it. You know, you mentioned Charlotte Northman all over Instagram, SportsCenter, Twitter. She's everywhere scoring some sick goals and it looks like they did it. I know we'll talk a little bit more about Jamie Ortega later, but shout out our sister, Sarah, told me she thinks UNC is the greatest team of all time. I can't wait to sit on the show to debate that. I think it's a little early to be giving out those awards, and it's going to be an interesting season, but I know that UNC had big wins over Duke, Vandy, and High Point, like you mentioned, Karen, your former Duke Blue Devils. But, you know, maybe if you were still there, things would have been different, but they weren't. Big week in the ACC, always fun to watch. And who's Cuse has next? They have Duke next, right? Is that at Duke? I just looked that up. Let me see that.
Yep, Cuse playing Duke this weekend.
At Duke this Saturday. Yeah, that should be a fun one.
So that game's coming right after BC at UNC. So it's a big Saturday for those ACC games. And then I think, you know, I'm excited to see different matchups. I think there haven't been a ton of close games in the ACC yet. I think the closest one, as I mentioned, was Virginia versus Virginia Tech. I think there's a ton of talent. There's going to be a lot of development. I'm really hoping that someone can compete for a longer period of time with UNC and see them get dethroned right now. But moving on to Big Ten play. Big Ten is definitely easier to track and manage with matchups than the ACC because they just have in-conference only schedule right now. So this past week, it was a weekend Friday-Sunday doubleheader. So Northwestern faced Johns Hopkins and won both times, 17-8 and 18-9. Rutgers played Ohio State and also won both. Scores were first game 12-9, second game was 10-9. And lastly, Maryland hosted Michigan and won both. Scores were 17-13 and 12-9. Bryce, we have any thoughts about those scores, about the results, or any thoughts on Rutgers?
My thoughts on Rutgers, and we talked about it the first show, just impressed. I think the coach staff's going to do a great job, and they have been. But looking, perusing their Twitter, their Instagram, their top three scorers are sophomores. Spillis, Jenna Byrne, and Ashley Campo. Jersey's a great lacrosse state. I actually went on an official visit to Rutgers because people don't realize how strong school it actually is academically. You know, shout out me. I was a great, great student back in the day. You know?
Nothing like but, a self-shout out.
I actually went because they were playing Miami in football. Back when Miami was on their big run, I wanted to see the game. But they kept telling me how strong school was academically. I was like, great. But I think they got a young core. And they also had the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. I saw Megan Ball as a defender, not a goalie, which always kind of makes me interested. They actually have some stats and some plays. So I'm excited about watching Rutgers in the future and think they're doing great. Karen, have you seen Rutgers play at all?
Yeah, I've watched them a little bit with their highlights, and we scrimmage them usually because they're right up the road. And, you know, the past few years, I've definitely noticed that some of their young kids that come out offensively, I'm like, wow, that kid is good. You know, so it's kind of, I think as the years go on, they'll start to piece together those things and really be a big contender in the Big Ten. I think they've had, you know, with Ohio State having a good win there, that's just kind of the momentum and that confidence that you need when you want to make a name for yourself and start getting people to really see you, and then breaking into the top 20 is definitely huge.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to watching all of that unfold. I think I was looking forward to a game that was postponed this weekend in the Big Ten. It happens. We're coaching through COVID. Well, some of us are, some of us aren't. Karen and I are not coaching through COVID. So, you know, there has been a lot of postponements, and I'm wondering too, if we have thoughts, you know, what does that do mentally at all for people preparing? Does that change this season? You know, is that really making a huge impact?
A lot. We pivots, pauses, new words we're using all the time, and I think some people have already dealt with it in the fall or in the spring, and we're just doing more. But I think that Rutgers has Michigan next, and talk about stop starts. It was definitely on national news that Michigan had paused for 2 weeks, about a month ago, I think it was. So I think that matchup is going to be really fun to watch. I think as the season wears on, the Big Ten playing each other twice a weekend is going to get gritty. This is a term I'll use. It's going to get tough. It's already a tough conference. So that should be tough. But what was the game we wanted to watch? Penn State Northwestern this weekend. That's now postponed. I think it dropped right before we got on the show. And then I think we were going to talk about Maryland. They had two big wins over Michigan. So now Michigan needs to rebound. But the thing I wanted to bring up about Maryland, nothing about their play. I saw, who did they lose to the first weekend? Do you guys remember?
Penn State.
I know they had the gate mesh sticks and they lost. And then on their Twitter, I saw immediately they were back in the rails and they got wins. So is it Karen, did you play with mesh?
Nope, I did not. That's the new wave. I wish I could have. I mean, I when I warm up those goalies, I love mesh. I recommend it. I think there's a very fine line, though. I think playing with a full mesh stick as an attacker and a midi, if you get that thing wet one day, like the next, now you have an illegal stick. So it's really, I think people think it's like a very hands-off. You don't have to worry about it as much as maybe a traditional with leathers, but you definitely do. So it's the wizard, not the wand, though, you know?
True. Yeah, I love that one. I just thought it was very fascinating. You got on the Twitter, you know, the Maryland flag across the stick looks amazing. And the mesh looked cool to start, but they're back in rails. And I think they're undefeated in the rails, so they're back. One thing I saw in Maryland only 14% of their goals are assisted right now. They got a lot of, I think, 7 of 49 goals, or it was 7 of 42, not a math major. But I think that will help them a little bit. But they've usually been an ISO dominant team. Karen, you go watch any Maryland games at all?
Yeah, I've watched a little bit with them. I would definitely agree. I think their highlights and all their games, they're straight ISOs. And one thing I'm really always impressed with Maryland is their ability to turn the corner and get a shot off. You know, I think their Dodgers go hard, whether it's from the lane or the elbow. And, you know, I think once they get their feeding game, I think Maryland always has been very versatile with having a good feeder behind to their very athletic middies that are cutting in the middle. I think once the season goes on and like you said, it gets tougher, they're going to need to balance out. And it's a lot easier to get a feed on the body than have to go 100 miles per hour down the alley after you just played on a Friday on a Sunday.
It's a good really point. Good point.
It's a really good point.
Life is a lot better with an X feeder. Life is definitely better when you can feed the ball.
Yeah, more sustainable. And I think that sustainability is going to be key for that longevity for these doubleheaders and then going into their, you know, championship conference weekend and figuring out how to come out with a win. Well, very exciting. So, Sylvia, oh, yes.
Sylvia, sorry, I'm gonna go curveball at you right now.
All right.
So Penn State now hasn't played 2 weeks. Is that what's going to happen now that they didn't, because they had the big win and now over Maryland and now they're supposed to play Northwestern. Now they're just, wow, that's going to be challenging.
Yeah. That's a long hiatus.
Nice word. Good word. All right. What's next?
So what's next? We're going to Division II. So it's going to be led and mostly talking from me. So, you know, last week,
D2 one of the games, what were you, D2 player of the year? You were D2 player of the year?
No, conference co-player of the year.
I just say player of the year. You always put an asterisk on it. I think you just take it. Nobody's going to Google it.
Yes, I was definitely the talent of the year. So we can say that. Started a one-woman show and we went to a national championship. So talent of the year, Paul Kark, you can interview me about being an artist. I'll accept it. So for D2 last week, I was most excited to watch UND matchup with Queens. It was a number 6, number 4 matchup. So I really like those top 10 matchups and to see what Division II top 10 teams are bringing. And, you know, UND went to Queens and dominated and won 15-5. So similarly to kind of Syracuse over Stony Brook. So thinking it was going to be a close game. And really it was kind of an offensive clinic. So the last two games, UND has scored and outscored opponents 35-6. So that's quite the disparity. And they were only playing ranked opponents. So they played number 21 and number 4. And then in that last game, Abigail Lagos had 7 goals and their goalie, Cassidy King, who's from the chosen spot in Canandaigua, New York,
had
12 saves and 5 goals against, which comes out to a mind-boggling 0.706 save percentage, which is quite high. I've been overwhelmed and really impressed with goalie play.
Some people would call that 71%.
Round up, that's 71%. So obviously Lagos and King were deserving to receive. They received the IWLCA Division II Players of the Week and they got Players of the Week for their conference. So just a total sweep. And then when going to Division III, I was excited about a couple games last week. And one that was one of the best games I watched all week was a 1-goal nail biter. It was Capital versus Otterbein. It was a classic 1-goal game. Capital led the entire first half and then Otterbein led for the majority of the second half. And it was tied with 17 seconds left. And Capital had an 8-meter opportunity, didn't finish on the 8-meter. Turnover, they recovered it, moved the ball twice, and Cat Walton scored to put Capital up. And they won the game. I believe it was 10-9, but they definitely won by 1. And Cat Walton had a total of 4 goals. So it was really exciting. You know, I think Division III hasn't had a ton of teams playing yet. So this
week, I got a D3 update for you.
Oh, I'd love a D3 update.
The Liberty League just announced they're back. Liberty Bibberty. I love those commercials.
Liberty Bibberty.
Yeah.
They're back. And before that, the Suniac announced that they're back. So
I missed that one. So they're back. They hadn't announced it yet.
They announced it before Liberty League, I believe. But so it's happening. There's more teams coming back out. They have restrictions and I think they have their dates when they can start being competitive. So again, you know, schedules had to be rearranged, but you know, there's a ton of Division III teams. So I'm excited the more that are competing. And I also vote for the IWLCA poll for Division III teams. So I'm excited to now have more teams to choose from.
You're on that committee, huh?
I'm on that. Apparently there's 27 of us.
It's Karen, pretty, are you voting pretty exciting.
No, I'm not on the voting committee, unfortunately.
Would you like to be? Either.
Yeah, why not? I mean, love ranking people, seeing where they fit.
I have PTSD from it. My first men's assistant job, we sat in the office doing it. Like, I mean, we would spend more time on that than the practice plan. So like, I don't ever want to do it again. I couldn't believe it. I was like, can we work on our own team here? Like, we're like, but anyways,
it is quite time consuming. And I'm also part of the all region voting committee. And I put a lot, you know, that's a lot of time. It's a lot of teams. You know, I'm in the West region, but part of, you know, it's, there's not as many teams out West. So we actually have teams that are in Ohio and Pennsylvania. So I'm having to like watch their games plus all of the ones that we play against. So it's definitely a fun multitasking event. But that's, you know, that's the wrap up on Division III for last week. And then we're on to our Big Stick Energy Award of the Week. And there was a lot of plays to choose from, but, you know, I chose a huge moment and a huge accomplishment for Jamie Ortega. She is the Big Stick Award winner this week. She is now the all-time leading goal scorer for UNC. That is quite a feat. There's been so many offensive talents go through that program, all under Jenny Levy. She's the GOAT as well. She's been there since the beginning. So congrats to Jamie Ortega for surpassing Abby Friend, originally held the record before. So congrats to Jamie Ortega. Thoughts on finishing?
I wonder, Karen, are you able to congratulate a Carolina player? Like, is that in your vernacular? Like, are you able to say that, or does the rivalry run that deep? How does that work for you?
This is the perfectly timed freeze.
Sorry, it literally, that, I mean, you.
That was perfect.
I'm like, she's really thinking about this one.
Yeah, airplane mode, turns off phone, comes back. What I missed? So you guys changed the topic. No, for real, bad Wi-Fi up in these parts. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a crazy accomplishment. I mean, like Sylvia mentioned, all the greats that have come through Carolina, I mean, to break a record, is phenomenal. And I think congrats to her. I know she's a Long Island girl, so continuing to show what Strong Island's all about.
Yeah, she did just beat someone who's from upstate that had it previously. So I guess it's also just also proving that New York is the best state for women's lacrosse talent. We're not even going to talk about the other side. It's the best for both, but it's definitely the best for women's lacrosse. So New York.
When you can combine upstate and Long Island, and we're not even talking about downstate, I mean, there's just so many options. I claim Canada too. People do not like that. They think that is false, but I you know, that's kind of, I know.
Wow. Never heard that one. I mean, I define upstate as anything once you cross the bridge and up. I know that's going to really rustle some feathers for you guys, but that's where I'm at. So I don't know if Canada can be involved from my standpoint, but we'll open it up. I mean, they got some great players up there too.
Right. We'll just take anybody in our little area. Yep.
And then the last portion before we get to some questions with Karen or some cues with Coach K, we're going to just highlight games we're looking forward to. You know, I'll list a bunch and then Bryce and Karen, you can say which ones you're most looking forward to. So for Division I and really, again, focusing in on Big Ten, Rutgers and Michigan doubleheader, excited for that. ACC matchup, BC versus UNC. And then we have Louisville playing Virginia at the same time as the BC and UNC game. And then Syracuse is at Duke. Other D1 games that I'm going to throw out, Binghamton and UMass Lowell, Towson and Stony Brook, and USC versus Davis. So which ones are you excited for, Karen and Bryce?
Yeah, I mean, I think number one on my list there would be BC UNC. I mean, that's kind of hard to deny. I think it'll be interesting to give BC a good test with UNC. I think the athleticism, they both are very high powered offenses on both sides, and their draw circle, it's going to be a fight for possession. It's going to come down to, you know, who has the ball more times in their offensive end. Could that's what it could come down to as the winner, but that's going to be a big one. I mean, Duke and Cuse as well. I know Duke had a tough one against Carolina, but they were able to bounce back. And I think this will be another good test for them going against Cuse. And I know we talked about them being a super high powered offense, but they saw that in Carolina. So I think that this could be a really good matchup as well.
I'm really intrigued by, you know, all those ACC ones, obviously. And where is the BC UNC game? Do you guys know?
UNC.
It's at UNC. Okay.
Yeah, UNC's home again. Hopefully not.
I like all those ones you said. Yeah, it seems to rain good amount. I'm really interested, as we said earlier, in the Rutgers Michigan. Michigan, I'm double checking here, and I'm correct. I haven't won yet. So I think that's going to be, you know, obviously a big one for them. And then, as you said it, and this is why I like this show, that one of many reasons, the Davis USC game kind of piqued my interest a little bit. Davis is playing some good ball right now. And I just, you know, I like their coach a lot.
You know, love their coach. Love Suzanne. I think she's great.
That's great. She's great.
She's great. She's also a great camp coach. Again, all of us have come together working at Western Winners. So thank you, Teresa Sherry, for bringing us together at camp. But I also
San Diego. We all met in San Diego.
But I'm excited too, because I feel like, and I'm really excited for the Towson Stony Brook game as well, because I just think it's going to be super physical. And I think Stony Brook's going to come back hard, and Towson had a really fresh start, and they've had some press on some specific players. And then I just love, you know, I love Coach Forrest. So I'm really excited to root for UMass Lowell, and then, you know, love to see an upstate New York team. So I'm really going to watch a lot of lacrosse this weekend, and probably a lot of it on Huddle. So not the best angles or video feed.
Do you guys miss crossover as much as I do, or is that just me? Do you miss it, or do you like Huddle more?
I mean, I like Huddle. I don't mind it.
You like it?
Yeah, I mean, we break down all of our film, so it's kind of we put it to how we like it. I don't know. Are you talking more on just as the streaming service as a whole, or in regards to breakdown?
Probably breakdown is more where I get frustrated with Huddle. It just doesn't go back as far, like the whole 7 second thing.
Yeah.
And then try to expand a clip. I had a really good thing going with crossover, and now I'm trying to get it going with Huddle. I just don't feel as confident.
I get that. I think women's lacrosse is new to them from what they've explained to me on the phone when I'm like, can you please do this? And they're like, what working they're on me. It. Yeah, they're working on it. So it was originally, I think I was told,
football,
a platform for high school football.
Yes, like, yes.
So I think, you know, they're getting into the nitty gritty of women's lacrosse, a sport that, you know, I know Sylvia wants to normalize everyone knowing the rules, but I don't think those people breaking down our Huddle film are knowing the rules of women's lacrosse. So
no, they're not. No. And it's going to take time. And I felt the same way, because it's like, we're having to adjust and adapt and change and learn a new website and learn all the new controls. And I really had a good thing going as well with crossover. I was really good at clipping things together, creating those playlists and things like that. Like when I, especially being an assistant at Pomona Pitzer. So I had a lot of glory days in the office listening to Glory Days, Bruce Springsteen, while clipping together stuff. So I really miss crossover, but I do remember when I first used crossover that I was judging it for spelling with a K, and then I didn't like it at first. So I'm still judging Huddle for their spelling, and I'm hoping it's going to be an easy transition.
Are we on to questions for Karen or
for Coach K? We're almost to the cues for Coach K, questions for Coach Karen, questions for Karen. And then I'm just going to say games I'm looking forward to for D2, Concordia St. Paul versus Lindenwood. And mostly I'm just really excited to watch Lindenwood. I think they have a shot at winning a national championship. They are studly, they're ferocious, they have a ton of depth. They have a great culture, great coaching staff, and, you know, they're 1-0. They beat Regis, I think, 12-9 this last weekend. And I'm going to watch probably all of their games. So I'm going to be a super Lindenwood fan this year. And for D3.
Shout out Coach Smith in Lindenwood. Brian Smith. He's a beauty.
He is a beauty.
It was 13-10. It was 13-10.
I was so close.
Lindenwood. Yeah, you were. I just been looking up because shout out Sarah Averson. Regis is here in Denver. Sarah Kellner.
Kellner. Married name.
Kellner now, right?
Yeah, she's
Cornell,
awesome.
Cornell All-American, Ivy League star, Lake Placid champion. She is not listening to the show.
No.
Maybe just send it to her.
You know, she's done similarly, I think, with Lindenwood. I mean, she's been there a while. They've really built that program. I think they were NCAA, but obviously, you know, Jack from Lindenwood and Brian, they went from NAIA to D2, and it's been a long time coming. But Regis and Lindenwood have had great games and usually close, usually tight. They're just both amazing and they have great coaching staffs. And yes, great shout out to Sarah. She's a great human being as well and really good lacrosse player. I remember watching her at Cornell. And then for D3, I'm really excited. Denison is opening up this weekend and they have their season opener and home opener and they're playing Illinois Wesleyan University. And, you know, I'm excited to watch Denison. I became closer with one of the associate head coaches doing some leadership training for athletes through Lit for Women. So I'm excited to root for her and her program. And I also have always really enjoyed watching Illinois Wesleyan.
Well, I got to pull for Illinois Wesleyan because that's my former player, Lindsay Rosecrans, who at one point in time during the season, we were 6-0 with Siena College Saints, and she was leading the country in goals, assists, and draw controls and cause turnovers. And she did not finish that, but they wrote an article about her in U.S. Lacrosse. So she was a fierce player. She's done a heck of a job with that program.
She's done a heck of a job. And then I'm really excited for St. Mary's College of Maryland versus Shenandoah. This is St. Mary's season and home opener. And Shenandoah gets a shout out because they came off of an impressive season opener versus Salisbury. They lost by three. 18-15. Quite the game. They are talented. They're strong. They got a deep bench. And they earned themselves the 25th spot on the IWLC.
St. Mary's, Maryland or St. Mary's, Indiana?
St. Mary's College of Maryland.
Maryland one?
Yeah. And then I also, you know, going to give a shout out because I follow Coach T on Twitter. You know, I love Taylor Page. She's awesome. She's a great coach. I heavily persuaded her to try to present at convention this year, and she did. So she's just an awesome Twitter user, a great human.
Coach T on Twitter?
Yeah, I'll send you her handle. Okay. But she's awesome. So good luck. Good luck, Coach T. Versus
Karen, what is Karen's Twitter handle? You're hilarious on Twitter.
Karen Maurer?
Yeah, it's just my name. I've changed it. It used to be Swag Queen with KWEN. So I
it was
Sylvia's not gonna like that with
KWEN.
But now it's just my name. You know, I've graduated into the Twitter world. I've had Twitter since 2011, and I just think I've always stood by it and been a firm believer. And now I just think it's the new wave. I mean, Sylvia has blown the doors off Twitter recently. I think in the lacrosse world, she's my best follow of the pandemic. No offense, Bryce. I probably was following you before the pandemic, but.
You were. Yeah, we were. Yeah. I got her. I appreciate that because I was all over. Like, can you please start tweeting? It's so fun. And I love your Twitter. Your football tweet gets me every year.
The Giants could use me. It still stands 3 years later. New York Giants.
You're right. Our offensive line has been atrocious for 3 years. You could definitely do better than what they put out there.
I also can't tackle football, and I think I DM'd you my pictures after you posted it.
Yep. I love it.
But yes, Karen, if you didn't know, Karen Maurer has the best throwback photos, has beautifully placed hand photos on her stick and from prom pictures in eighth grade formals in her polka dot black dress or something like that. So if you don't follow Karen, make sure to, easy to follow at Karen Maurer on Twitter. Yeah. And, you know, Instagram's whatever. I'm all in on Twitter. I actually have had Twitter and deleted it 3 times before coming back and joining the lacrosse community, which is where I should have just been the whole time.
Karen, do you have TikTok?
I'm a TikTok viewer. I mean, I definitely
viewer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I did tried one trendy TikTok dance in the beginning of quarantine when I thought this whole thing was going to be like a month and I was bored.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the things you learn on TikTok are pretty phenomenal.
I'm trying to get Sylvia into that next. She won't do it.
Wow. That. Yeah. All right. I'm on board for that. I mean, it's like the new Vine. I mean, Vine was big when I was in college, and I mean, I look back at some of my vines and I'm like, wow, this is really cringeworthy, but I'm like, this was funny as well, you know?
Does Princeton have a TikTok, and do they create their own material, the players?
We do not. We've thought about it, but this fall we weren't on campus. Now in the spring, we're just practicing with them. So it definitely could be. I think if TikTok stays at the forefront of social media that it's at right now, I think we're not opposed to it.
I'm looking forward to a fall 2021 debut, and I would like it to start with some nice videos of Chris.
Oh, she would gladly do them.
She'd be the star.
Absolutely.
So quick shift. And I think Bryce, you can ask Karen the first question.
Okay. All right. Easy one.
Okay.
But tough at the same time, the double dip. What is your favorite thing about lacrosse?
Oh man, that's like easy, but tough. I mean, I think one thing I really like about lacrosse is just the community we have. I mean, I think we want to grow the game, but I think our community is so tight knit, and like, we all have the commonality of playing lacrosse in a sport that's like very impactful in all of our lives. I think we had a Zoom recently with, I forget exactly, you know, what it was, but we were talking about the medicine game and the true origins of lacrosse and hearing the stories. And obviously, you know, I did papers on it when I was, you know, middle school and whatever, and wrote all about that. But I think the game has so much meaning, more than just, you know, what we view it as. I know we love it, but just hearing that and kind of putting yourself in that position of how far the history is of our game is just unreal to think about, and really gives you good perspective and see like how far it's come, even from when I was in college to now. It's like a completely different game on the lacrosse.
That's a great answer. So am I going to keep rapid firing here? I got a lot of questions. I came up with more as we were chatting. Wow. Just
rapid fire.
Okay, I'll go number two. Okay. So you play for Team Italy, or you have, I don't know if you're, are you planning on continuing playing? And then what is your favorite Italian food? Like, what's your go-to? Yeah, you gotta pick one.
Yeah. Wow. All right, so the last time I played with Team Italy was in the World Cup, which was an unreal experience. Took a hiatus for a little bit, and I'm now trying to come back out of retirement for probably the third time and try out and train with the team, and hopefully get selected for the World Cup next summer. So that's where I'm at in my playing career for international lacrosse. Favorite Italian food. I mean, that's so hard. It's like, is it my grandma's, okay, or is it just like, you know, I'm going to an Italian restaurant? Because
I'm going to go homemade.
Grandma.
Homemade?
Yeah. Grandma. Mm.
I do love a good chicken parm. I mean, I don't know what it is.
Shout out Coach Yurick. That is what we ate for every single pregame meal in college. Turns out it's not that healthy. We were told it was. Do you remember your first stick and what it was and who gave it to you?
Yes. So my brother is 7 years older than me. He played lacrosse, and I wanted to do everything he did, hence why I played football. Yep. I was a cheerleader for him 1 year. This is like such a sidetrack story, but I was a cheerleader for his team. And then when, like, I was like, all right, forget this, clearly. Came home the next year with this flyer. I'm like, Mom, I am pumped. Like, check this out. I want to do this. And she was like, I thought you wanted to quit cheerleading. I'm like, yeah, I do. You see, it's a football flyer as well. And that's where that started. But so my brother played, and I obviously wanted to, you know, be able to play with him in the backyard and all that. So I remember I was like kind of a baby about wanting to lose my first tooth, and like wouldn't pull it out and all that. My dad was like, if you pull out your tooth, like, it was like literally wiggling, and he was like, I'll get you a stick. and I did it. And it was the, I was a big impulse girl. The De Beer impulse that I rocked that. I mean, it was cracked in different places. I taped it up. I mean, I love that thing.
That is a phenomenal first stick story.
Yeah.
I was excited for these questions. let's go one. We talked feeding earlier and Sylvie mentioned your stats. Like, and it's very fascinating to me as someone who's coached offense for about 16 seasons now. How do you become a better feeder? How do you sense the game better? How do you share? How do you build chemistry? Give me some feeding tips for an attacker.
Dang, that's tough. I mean, I think a lot of field vision is kind of an innate thing, but you definitely can hone in on that skill. I think a lot of reps, like a lot of being a good feeder is also knowing who you're feeding to, how they like the feed, the timing, all of that. I mean, I remember in college, you know, I had a few teammates that liked the feed. Some liked them, you know, right to their sticks. Some liked them into space. So you kind of just have to learn that. I mean, it's not, as a feeder, it's not all about how you want to feed the ball. It's more about you put it where they want it and it's up to them to do the rest. You try to make them look good. But I think just repping that, getting out with your teammates and putting the ball into space. I think a lot of it nowadays with how athletic defenders are in women's lacrosse is you're always having pressure on your hands. So being comfortable with changing the levels of your stick and getting a feed off when you're in a, you know, high pressure situation, or even in a double team, trying to get that ball out of your stick. I think those are some big things that are good for feeding.
Levels of your stick. Shout out Avicii. We love using that one. That's a great RIP. Can't believe it. That's outstanding. This is a funny one. We were talking about how much we miss camps and how we all met at camps and the lacrosse community. So I remember we worked a camp together in Texas a few years ago, and I was like, give me some draw tips. We were taking draws in my apartment. Give me a draw tip. What do you got out there for draw? I mean, it's a fascinating Sylvie and Sarah. I've always asked, they're like, I don't know. I win it. And I'm like, what? Give me a real draw tip. Give me one. I remember you giving me one before. You don't have to give all your secrets. You can be a beginner tip.
I mean, they're not secrets. Let's be real here. I think common knowledge at this point. I think that's tough. Because I think everyone likes to take the draw differently. I think that's what's as I, you know, when I took the draw, I would change it up, you know, numerous times depending on where the ref placed the ball and all of that. So I think not pigeonholing yourself into only taking the draw this way. I think that's something that's huge. I mean, obviously hand speed is very important, and looking at the referee, I mean, that is huge.
I'll tell you, we were working on 8 meters this morning, and a couple of the kids were like, it really helps to look at the ref. We got these new Fox 40 buzzer whistles. Oh my goodness. Yeah. It is terrible. No one to stop. Anyways, I digress. Last question I have. I mean, I got a million, but we're trying to keep this under an hour-ish. Explain the culture of Long Island lacrosse as best you can, and why it is so different, and why players are so great that come from there, in your opinion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang. I think it's just you play it from such a young age, and I think people from Long Island in general are a different breed, as we know. You know, it's very like rough, tough, in your face, don't care, like go all in and everything. And I think that just translates on the field. Like you just, when you see a Long Island kid, they're like a gritty kid, you know, they're very confident in themselves. And I don't know, it's a unique culture for sure. That's for sure.
It's different. You got experience. Do you have a favorite Long Island deli? I'll throw one more in there.
Oh, absolutely. Seaport and Instatocket. I mean, it's probably the best deli on Long Island, if not in the country or the world.
I think I did a podcast with Sean Scannoni. I don't know if his sister plays at UNC and he's a pro men's goalie now. I think he said the same place.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fact. It's not even an opinion.
Sylvia, did you have questions for Karen, or was I doing all the questions? I forget.
Yeah, I just had one question, and also I wanted to follow up too. There's no such thing as secrets in the game, but apparently there is intellectual property, and we're not allowed to share intellectual property. That's something I won't delve into, but some people might.
Northwestern.
Northwestern. It's funny. Yeah. Well, those are great questions, Bryce. And I've never heard of that deli. I think I had heard of it in Sean's interview. So when he was on Lax and Poetic, so I'm going to have to take a trip. I'm so excited. There's nothing quite like a good sandwich. My question is too, and maybe going off to like Long Island culture, and I might've started there. What are, and who are the influential people in your life and the coaches that really made an impact on you in the women's lacrosse world? And you could also mention too, if like a player really made a big impact on you as well.
Yeah, I think I was pretty fortunate to have a really phenomenal youth coach. Shout out Mike Schwale. He is definitely big into the men's side of the game, but his daughter's my age, and we got a good group together out in Stony Brook, Setauket area, through Three Village Lacrosse, which is a big Ward Melville contingency out there. And we started young, and he taught us, like, he just taught us the game from a different lens and at a high level. Like, he wasn't just a dad that came to, you know, get their kid active. Like, he knew the game. He taught us things at a really young age. And then we carried that into Long Island Express. We were actually one of like the founding teams of it when they had a girl side, RIP to the girl side of Long Island Express, but we had a great run there. And then a lot of us from that team then, you know, went to St. Anthony's together, and he helped coach there for a little bit. And then my high school coach, Corinne Lomangino, who was a Duke alum, you know, was very influential as well. And we had a really good team. I think my senior year, we were number two in the country behind McDonough. And we were pretty fortunate to go play Good Counsel, McDonough, Georgetown Visitation, like really good teams from all over the country. And then obviously in our backyard, we have like Garden City, Northport, all those phenomenal programs. So I think those two, and then obviously getting to Duke, having Kirsten as my coach was great. She's a really great coach and role model. And then I've had some really, really good assistants. I mean, Josh Hexter at Elon, Kristen Wagbo at Army, and then Lauren Morton at BU. So all now head coaches that really helped shape me throughout my career as well. So, and obviously now as a coach, I mean, I'm working for a legend, if not the legend, Chris Saylor. And I just think, even if I was a player now, like, I'm really excited to play again for Team Italy and take the knowledge that she shared with me now from a different lens and be able to implement that in my game. I mean, probably a little slower on the feet and with the hands, but we're going to make it work.
Well, that is a lot of people that have really shaped you and made an impact. And I think that I really love that you touched on a different lens, just because, you know, it's really important to have different perspectives, how people view the game, how they teach you, how they say things that really shape who we all are. So that's really cool. And I think it's awesome now that you're a coach and you're trying to make that same impact and keep getting better and still playing. So shout out to you.
Oh, let's do it.
Well, I think that wraps up, you know, the show. And I want to personally thank you, Karen, for being with us. I appreciated all your insights, your wisdom, your humor, your patience with my scripted speech half the time. So thank you. And yeah, Bryce, any thoughts?
First guest in the show. First guest.
First
request, I think, too. It's a big deal. Wow. You're like, all right, let's get Karen.
Wow. You know,
a lot of it was your Twitter humor. No, just kidding. It was mostly
Luke off
knowledge.
It's
camp.
You know, this, you make connections at camp. Everyone, you got to work camps.
Shout out Teresa Sherry. I mean, she is just phenomenal running Spacity and getting us all together in San Diego. I mean, a trip I will never forget.
Fun trip.
Well, thank you so much again for being with us, and tune in next week and we'll be back at you with Women's Lax World. Thanks for tuning in and supporting Women's Lax World. We appreciate you, and make sure to tune in next week for a brand new episode.